The Sunday School Hour. Gonna go ahead and dismiss our Sunday School classes to have them head downstairs. And as that migration continues, the rest of us can turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. We're continuing in our study, and we started it last week, looking specifically at this issue of perseverance. One thing that we as believers need to kind of understand about our Christian life is this, that we are going to go through some very difficult things. These are things that we're going to struggle with. These are things that are going to be weighing heavily upon us, on our minds, on our hearts, on our spirits. These are things that are going to be tribulation or trials, all of these things that we talk about in life. And sometimes, to a degree, it is just even a day-to-day issue. Waking up in the morning and beginning to realize, hey, I've got to do things today. I have to accomplish things today. Sometimes we get, we wake up and we just realize there's so much volume of work to be done. It can really weigh heavily upon us. And I want us to think about that this morning specifically. You know, last week we kind of began to introduce this issue of persevering and what that means. We're going to be reviewing some of the verses that we even went through last week, kind of hinting on some of those principles, building on them, and really truly looking at what perseverance means. Now, again, I want to clarify this, and it's important to do this. I kind of made a mention of it last week. Again, I didn't go into great detail, but I want to make mention of it again this morning. We are not Calvinist, and we do not believe in perseverance of the saints as they do. They have this mentality as part of their 5 points, that is that you will persevere no matter what because you will no longer be able or capable of sinning. That, I'm sorry, I don't know anybody here that has reached sinless perfection in that they may do everything 100% correctly and without sin. Now, I understand how God views us, and I understand all of that, but there are times that we do make wrong decisions. There are times we make bad judgment calls. There are times we act on our own will and we act upon our own desires and not God's. Those are sinful things. There are times that we respond without not being in faith, not believing God at His word and not obeying the way that we're supposed to. Well, what is that? The Bible specifically says that that which does not have the faith, if you will, have faith, is what? Sin is how God phrases it. So we have to begin to understand those things. I mean, do we always do the right thing every single time? Again, God says, if you know to do good and you fail to do it, it's what? Sin. We can get convicted this morning. I can go a whole, message about conviction of where we do sin. But we don't have some sort of, if you will, magical perseverance that has been dropped upon us that all of a sudden we're just going to be able to sail through life and not have any problems and just be able to just, no. It is a day-to-day, sometimes hour-by-hour decision and purpose of heart to do that which God wants us to do and to persevere in His will and to persevere in His word to do the things that He asks us. Those are things that we have to understand that. So this is why we're going through this. This is why we're looking at this subject. Because again, there's so many things that will stop us from doing that. There are so many things in this life that will draw us to the point of where we want to quit. And trust me, I've been there. As a believer, as a Christian, I have been there. I've been to the point of where I'm like, I'm done with church. I'm done with these jokers. I'm done with this. I'm not talking about now as a pastor, right? I'm not referring to you guys, okay? But there's been some nasty stuff that has happened in my life in churches that is, you know, if I was to go through all of it, half of you would be like, hey, yeah, I'm with you too. I'd quit. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to persevere in His will to accomplish it and to do it with that joyfulness that He has given us in His Spirit. So before we get into Hebrews this morning, let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you again, Lord, that we have this opportunity to hear your word, to learn from you, and to understand this subject of what you desire for us to do, to persevere. Lord, I pray that this morning we would have that heart that would be willing and ready to listen, that it would be one that is tenderly prepared by your Holy Spirit to receive this instruction. Thank you again for those that are here this morning. And Lord, I just pray it would all please you and honor you. In this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So let's take a look here at verse 3. This is kind of where I want to launch from this morning. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now look, I understand that we get physically tired in this life. If you ever have had any medical issues that slow you down, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. You go through 14 surgeries, you're gonna slow down a little bit. You're just not gonna be as spry as you used to. You're gonna have to sit in a chair instead of stand behind a pulpit. Those things, I mean, you understand the physical part. But this isn't about physically fainting. This isn't about physical endurance. This is about spiritual perseverance in Christ. And what happens is, before we get to that point of quitting, there is this mindset that occurs of fainting, being weary, being tired, getting to a point of spiritual exhaustion. These are all dangerous areas to be in. And that's when we really truly have to begin to be very circumspect in our walk and circumspect in what we do and realizing not only all the things that are going on around us, but what's going on inside our mind and inside our heart. That's part of the circumspect walk that he talks about over there in Ephesians 5. And again, as we understand that, it's not just being observant about what's going on, looking for the opportunities, you know, looking above and watching where our feet are going and understanding where we came from and where we're heading to. But it's also an introspective look, introspective circumspect walk, if you will, where we're looking at what's going on inside of our head and understanding that we need to bring thoughts into captivity. Because again, those thoughts that originate in our heart, that go to our mind and come out in actions or words, all need to be brought into obedience to Christ, as it says over there in 2 Corinthians. So when we look at this here, we find that the author that writes down what we have here in verse 1 is he's pointing out where exactly we begin to faint. And it's because we weary ourselves with things that we ought not to. We diminish our strength. We carry burdens that we shouldn't. We have sins that we pack around that need to be gotten rid of. We do things like that. And there's things that we need to understand that are going to weigh us down spiritually. And that's what he's talking about where he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And he identifies these two things. spiritual weights and sin that can cause us to get to this point of fainting. But praise the Lord, God just doesn't say, hey, here's your problem. This is what I love about the Word of God. He doesn't say, here's your problem. He says, here's your problem and here's your solution. That's one thing, I mean, look, if you ever get into the role of a pastor, sometimes this is what happens. People come to you and they say, hey, we've got some problems. Okay, what's the problem? Here's the problem. And do you have a solution for that? You know, if you're going to come to somebody with a problem, come with a solution. Come with an idea about how to fix it. Talk about it. Figure it out. You know, there's things to do. As managers, when, you know, as a manager, when I had some employees that would come and they'd say, well, here's a problem, I'd be like, okay, and what are you doing about it? Don't just dump your problems on someone else. We have individual problems that we have to address and take care of. We can't shuck those off to the next guy that's, you know, sitting next to us. Those are things that are personal responsibility. We have to take a look at that, and we have to be very, very, if you will, judgmental of ourselves before we start doing anything else outside of that. We have to look at ourselves and say, okay, what is slowing me down? What is causing me in my mind to be weary to do things? If reading the Word of God becomes cumbersome to you, you've got to wait. It could be a sin. It could be something that you're dealing with in your life. There's tons of things that it could be, and I'm not going to go through and try to identify all of those because they are unique and individual to each person. But we have to identify that there are weights. Back when I was younger, a young adult, and I was dabbling in stuff, you know, there was training that I would do, and we would pack on all this gear because we wanted to be able to endure what we were going to have to do with 50 pounds of weight. 50 pounds of gear. Now, you know, today the modern soldier with all of his helmet and his body armor and everything else that they pack on those guys, they're packing around a minimum of 80 pounds. 80 pounds. You know what? You got to be in good physical condition to carry that, right? And there are going to be things that are going to try to weigh us down in our spiritual life. And what we need to be is we need to be in good spiritual condition to be able to identify, hey, look, those are things that are going to slow me down that I don't need to carry. Now, the gear we were carrying, that was all necessary. I mean, you know, that was, you know, plates that would stop bullets and, you know, I'm getting a little too detailed what I need to, but there was stuff that we had that was essential. But I'm talking about carrying around weights that we don't need to. We had to make sure that we weren't carrying something that wasn't more than what we need. Sometimes people go backpacking and they do all the lightweight stuff. We went on one of the Manly Man Macho Mountain missions one time, and we go through this hike, and it was a bit of a murder hike. Because it was up and down and up and down, and there was tree falls because of storms and stuff. They hadn't cleared the path, and it was a difficult hike. When we got where we were going, everybody was just like, ugh. Except for one guy. And because he had packed up, I think it was 5 pounds of beef and 5 pounds of rice and 5 pounds of noodles and a cast iron Dutch oven. And he busts all that out and puts it down, and everybody looks at him like, what? You know, here we are carrying all these lightweight aluminum things and, you know, all this stuff. And he barely even broke a sweat. And we're just sitting there going, wow. You know, some people can handle that stuff. But I'll tell you this. We have to be very cognizant about what it is we're packing around in this life. Does not Christ say, cast our burdens upon him? Because his burden is what? It's easy and light. It's something that we can handle. So what we need to do is we need to identify where these things are that are going to cause us to faint. Turn over to the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, very familiar verse. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And, you know, a lot of people take that and use that in the negative context of, well, if you sow sin, you're going to reap some consequences of sin. Well, yes, absolutely. But let's understand this. You sow righteousness, you're going to reap the consequences of righteousness. And those are some good consequences. Those are good results. Those are great blessings that you can receive because of that. And again, I'm not talking about you're going to, you know, be healthy and wealthy and wise and all that jazz that, you know, that get the, you know, modern day contemporary guys preaching that prosperity stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. But you'll reap things. Because he says here in verse 8, and this is what they always kind of forget this verse. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, the things that we sow should be harvested in such a way that they are going to remain forever. You know what? Those are things that are done for Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 takes care of that and addresses it. We understand this concept that what we do in this life, there are going to be things that we have to answer for to God in heaven and stand in front of Christ. But let's not get so focused on, you know, what comes then. Let's get focused on what we need to do now. Specifically, what seed are we sowing in this life? Because as he goes through this, and he says in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So here's the concept. In conjunction with what we understand in Hebrews now about weights and sins that cause us to faint, to cause us to get to that point of where we start thinking about quitting and stopping and doing things that we shouldn't be doing, not persevering. This issue of fainting that Paul addresses here is because of the lack of well-doing. You know, it can be tiring to kind of do the right thing. I mean, look, sometimes maybe it's just me and maybe I'll be a little bit transparent. There are times that you kind of get sick and tired of, you know, some of the stuff that goes on in this life, and you're trying to do the correct responses and you're trying to do those things. And then there's that thought that just comes through that has escaped captivity of like, hey, I know how to solve this. Punch him in the face. That, cause that always works. Grab that critter and put it back where it belongs, all right? You know, put it in the obedience of Christ, because that's not what we do, all right? That's just not the wrong thing. I mean, not only will there be, you know, some grave, if you will, physical consequences about being arrested for assault and having those charges, but at the same time, there's going to be some major spiritual consequences. Not just the physical ones. But sometimes we do get tired of doing those right things. We get tired of doing well. And we faint. And sometimes it's because we look at, if you will, the entirety of the field. Have you ever stepped back in your life and began to look at the field that you've been given? And this is an important Christian principle. God often refers to, you know, in typology, our Christian life, if you will, in the form of farming, agriculture, husbandry. And there are great principles to understand that. I used to live in Wichita, Kansas, a long time ago. And there's a couple of things that I remember about Wichita, Kansas. First and foremost is every home almost had a basement. And that was why, the reason obviously is because of, well, yeah, tornadoes. So I remember tornadoes. I remember the warning sirens. I remember having to sleep downstairs, because, you know, there were storms that were rolling through at night and so on and so forth. I remember all of that. But I also remember this, is that you would drive through certain areas of Kansas and you just see the wheat fields. Just, I mean, beautiful. You'd see them growing, you'd see all the seasons, you'd see those things. And I always remember, you know, in my head, and maybe it's because I was a smaller child, but I remember this. I remember the size of them. They were big. They were big. Because you'd see the harvesters out there, and you'd see how small those harvesters are compared to the size of the wheat field. You ever been around a combine or one of those things? They're huge. Man, I want to just get in one and just drive it down the road. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody will get out of your way. If I can get that thing up to 70, 80 miles an hour, I'd be like, yeah, I'm buying one of those. Anybody gets in my way, it's just like, you know, just go right over the top of them, right? But I'll tell you this, you know, they're huge. But in comparison to the size of the fields, they're just a speck. Have you ever stopped and looked at your Christian life and realized how big the field is that God has given you in your life? I'm 50 years old. I got a pretty big field. People that are younger don't realize how big a field they're going to have in this life. And sometimes people have small fields because maybe they were saved later on in life. Maybe they didn't do a lot. Maybe they've got a field that's just still undeveloped. But I'll tell you this, when you stop and you begin to look at what it is that we have been given of God, you have to take a look back and say, what's growing? What is it I have put down? What is in the ground? And if we take a look around and we begin to, if you will, be circumspect in that field, we'll realize that some of the stuff that we planted, I don't want to harvest that. That's one where I need to burn that field. I need to get rid of those things. But sometimes we realize that the things in this life and the fields that we have, they're immense. Have you ever stopped and thought about how many people you have come in contact with? I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about how many people are in your immediate family. Some of you can count real quick. Some of you are like sitting there going, how many kids does that guy have? And you know, you're trying to wrap your head around it. And then think about how many people you've had contact with maybe at work. Maybe in your social circle. Maybe your friends. You're like, okay, well, we're starting to get a little bit bigger now. Some people at work, they have, you know, larger places. They have more individuals that they have contact with. I'll give you an example. Sorry to point them out, but, you know, John and Heather Aldridge, what do? They go and they go to these sportsmen's places and they put on presentations and there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that attend those things. They've got a big field. This church has a big field. The 4th of July parade that we had our float go through, that we had people walking by the church, that we had people walking by saying, hey, I've been walking for a little bit. Can I use your restroom? And we're like, yeah, use your restroom. Yeah, you can get some water. I mean, we were very open about that, allowing those things. We've got a big field. But then begin to realize how many people that you have contact with when you go out to eat, when you go to Walmart, when you go to the store, when you go and you engage in whatever it is, you go on vacation, you go to the beach, you go to the mountains, you go wherever it's going to be, you're going to have contact with individuals. You begin to realize your field is quite immense. And what God says that we need to do is that we need to be sowing in the Spirit so that we will reap in the Spirit those spiritual things that we need to have growing in our life that are going to be continuing on. And he says, look, we shouldn't be weary in the well-doing of that, in the well-doing of planting the right seeds and ensuring that they're reaped correctly. Because so often is the case is we sometimes look at the field and go, I can't do that. I can't do that. And as I've said time and time again, we need to understand over there in Philippians, God says, I can't is part of the, it's not part of the Christian vocabulary. Because what does he say? I can do all things. Through what? Christ. Through Him. That's the problem. Is we faint because we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to do it on our own. I mean, you think about this for a moment. It's really hard when you're being given a difficult task and it's just you and you alone. You know, Elijah thought that. After he receives the hate mail from Jezebel, he goes runs and understand all the stuff that happened there. And there he is in the cave and he's got his little prepared speech that he gives twice. You know, I'm sure he worked on that and polished it up and got that sermon down. You know, like it's I and I alone serving the Lord. And God's like, there's 7,000 dudes over here that are. So what are you talking about? There's other people in this life. And interestingly enough, Elijah, they're working the same field you're working. Now, when I said I want you guys to think about your field, do you realize, and I want you to kind of understand this and maybe look around, you know, the auditorium, there are other workers in that field that are right here, right now. That field is a big field. That field is the world, as we see over there in John chapter 4. And yeah, it may seem like the laborers are few. And there will be few laborers as we continue to progress in this life. But that doesn't mean we stop. We still need to be continuing to sow. I want you to turn over to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And I want you to think about this for a moment. You know, Israel's been through a lot of trials and tribulation. That nation has gone through quite a bit. They continue to go through quite a bit. And a lot of it is because of their own doing. I mean, they've got some pretty big consequences. I mean, they had 70 years where they were in captivity and then, you know, they get out and they still don't have a nation and they still didn't have temple and so on and so forth. And nowadays they, well, guess what? They still don't have a temple and they're still, you know, basically being persecuted and there's people wanting to push them right into the Mediterranean and bomb them out of existence and so on and so forth. That's a pretty rough life to live, okay? But it's what they've gone through and what they have endured so far at this point pales in comparison to what is coming. Because the Lord has got to deal with Israel and he's going to deal with them very specifically for the purpose of getting them purged of what mindset and what idols they still have. Because they are his chosen people and there's a purpose behind why he has them. And that purpose has yet to be fulfilled. Israel is not the top nation right now. And God has promised that they will be. We need to understand that in order to get to that point, God has got to do a lot of correction. He's got to do a lot of trimming of that tree. But here's the important part. as they go through that difficulty today, as they go through the difficulties that are about to come, there's one thing that they need to always realize. In Isaiah chapter 40, and here's where we can apply this to us. We can get some application from it. In Isaiah chapter 40, I want us to take a look at Isaiah 40 verse 29. He says, "He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now, look, I understand who this is talking to, and I understand the purpose behind why he's saying this. But I also understand that I can take a look at this and I can get some pretty good application and instruction for me. You realize that if I go through the process of trying to do everything myself, and I go through the process of, if you will, futilely beating the air, and I begin to lose my strength, I will faint. Now again, as I mentioned before, and as we'll continue through this series, there's a key that is behind perseverance. And that is strength. And what strength we get, and from where. That becomes critical in understanding perseverance. Because here we find there, you know, he mentions, he says, look, there's going to be people, they're going to fail. They're going to faint. They're going to fall. And even identifies the people that you would think that are, that have the ability to do that. They're going to fall. You know, you look at Christians around nowadays, and you see, you know, there are Christians that have a great zeal for the things of God and so on and so forth, that have, you know, spiritual maturity. At some point in time, though, those individuals too, if they are not careful, will fall. We look at youth today and we realize that, hey, you know, they've got some power, they got some strength, and you know, after service today, I'm actually going to ask a couple of young guys to help out and move a couple of things. Why? Because they've got some strength. They've got the ability to do that. There's people that don't have it anymore, that are diminished in strength. As we get older, we kind of lose that strength. We don't have the same strength that we had. It's the natural progression of age. But what we find here is, in a spiritual sense and not in the physical sense, he says this. He says, look, here's the key. You need to wait upon the Lord. I have seen people faint because they have sat there and fretted themselves to exhaustion. They have worried and they have done all of these things, all for naught. There's this little image that I've saved on my phone, and it shows this guy in a rocking chair, and it's one of those animated images, and the guy's rocking back and forth, and it says this, it says, "Worry is like a rocking chair. There's a lot of motion, there's a lot of activity, but there's not a lot accomplished." And I'm kind of paraphrasing it, if you will. And that's really, truly what worry and fretting and if you will, exhausting ourselves, trying to do things outside of God's plan, outside of God's purpose, and outside of His will, and most importantly, outside of His timing. Have you ever been kind of at that point where you're like, okay, God, you know, let's move to the next step? this chapter in my life has gone on for a little bit longer than I want to. Can we move to the next one? There's just things that, Lord, you need to speed it up here. You know, I got things to do. And I'll tell you this, God's got his own time. And guess what? It's not ours. He's timeless and ageless. He's outside of the bounds of what time is. Bob and I have had some discussions about time and relativity and things of that nature. And we kind of get a little interesting with those comments and those discussions, and I enjoy them. But you realize how we are still bound by that. But at some point in time in this life, you know, and not in this life in physical flesh, at some point in time, we're going to be outside of that. Praise the Lord. But in the meantime, we are here. And in the meantime, we have stuff that we need to be doing for the Lord. But we waste our resources and we waste our strength by doing things the wrong way, by doing things outside of God's will. I mean, think about it. Let's say you give somebody a task and you say, hey, look, here's this field. I want you to clear this field. I want you to mow the grass and I want you to, you know, weed and trim the edges and that's the purpose behind it. And they go, okay. And you're like, oh great. You can follow instructions. You come back 3 hours later and you find that they have been cleaning the windows on the shed. You're like, wait a second. I didn't tell you to do that. You still got all this stuff you got to get done. Yeah, I know, but I need to do this. No, you don't. That's not your that's not where you need to be. That's not your task. You need to be doing what was told to be done. That's not important now. And like, well, the windows are dirty. Yeah, but I'm tearing the shed down. You know, the next thing that was going to happen was that shed was going to be torn down and we were going to build a better one. Why are you doing something that doesn't need to be done? And we fail to persevere when we realize we're doing the wrong thing. And what weighs us down is when we try to do the right thing at the wrong time. What weighs us down is instead of doing the will of God, we do our own will in sin. What stops us from well doing is this concept of sowing the wrong seed. And what causes us to faint and grow weary is when we fail to wait on God's timing. These are all things that when we begin to look at this fainting in our mind, it's what saps our strength. Because we're doing the wrong thing at the wrong time and we're doing it the wrong way. And truly a Christian needs to stop and consider some things and say, hey, maybe I need to start doing things the right way. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. We saw this verse last week, and I want to touch on it again. Proverbs chapter 24, and in verse 10, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, why is that? Because we don't have enough resources to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. But if God has given us all things and given us the ability to do them according to Ephesians, then what's the problem? Well, as Ephesians also points out, he says, look, you've also got some things that you're caring about and you're worrying about that you ought not to. You're thinking about the wrong thing. You're concerned about the wrong thing. I tell you, one of the most, if you will, liberating things in Christ Jesus is this. when you begin to realize I'm living this Christian life for Him, and what other people say is not necessarily important to me. I'm going to continue to serve God regardless. Preacher that I know would say this, and he would always say, you know what dogs do? They bark. Let the dogs bark. You walk past, that big old dog's barking at you as you're on your little power walk with your little power weights. And the dog barks at you. Does your life end, or do you just keep going? And you just keep going, praying that the dog's on a leash and the fence is going to hold. Maybe you speed up the power walk just a little bit to a small jog. Whatever it is, right? You know what? You just keep moving. You keep moving forward in life. Our resources are diminished. Our strength becomes small when we only rely on ourselves. This becomes the issue. This becomes the problem. And I want to show something very specific. And I want you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, and we're going to see a verse over in Psalms in just a moment, Lord willing, but in Deuteronomy chapter 20, we understand that this is the new generation getting ready to go into the promised land. They're getting the law again. They're getting a repeat of what was said, and they're saying, look, you got to follow these things. I mean, there's great principles that we see in the book of Deuteronomy that we can apply to our lives about how to live spiritually, how to have spiritual homes, how to continue forward in the things that the Lord asks us to do. But I want you to see here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, and he says here in verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. That's important, because you know what? When you face some battles in your life, you're going to look at it and go, oh my, what is that? And some giant crawls out of the crowd of people that are things that are coming at you, and you're like, whoa. You know what? Here's what you do. My God's bigger. My God will take you out. He'll handle this situation. That's what he's telling Israel. Verse 2, he says, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. And I want you to see this. And he shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. We really need to get that down as Christians today when we start realizing the battles that we face. But here's something I want to point out. In verse 3, he says, look, you know, we need to be careful here because you can't let your heart be faint. And why is that? Because jump down to what happens here in verse 8. He says, an officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. You know what? I want you to understand this. Fainting is contagious. Fainting is contagious. Because here's what happens. Others, as Elihu told Job, are looking at you. You're like, well, I'm nothing. I'm not spiritually mature. I'm still struggling in my life. Yeah, but you know what? Unbelievers are still watching you. Other Christians are still watching you, whether they're mature or immature, whether they're young or aged, it doesn't matter. They're still looking at you and you're like, well, they ought not be looking at me. They ought to be looking at Christ. Oh, amen to that. I agree wholeheartedly. But they're still looking at you. You can't change that. Stop trying to change what people are looking at. Be the example God told you to be. Be the example God told you to be. And here he says, you know, the officers, as they're going through the ranks, and he's watching these guys, and he's seeing these guys that are standing up tall, and they've got that look, you know, like warriors get when they're getting ready to go into battle. But then you got the guy over there that's like, oh, 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 and he's freaking out. He's like, you go home. We don't need you here. You're a liability. He's like, but it diminishes. It doesn't matter. God whittled Gideon's down to 300 men. And God gave him the victory. God can do what he wants with how many ever he wants. And I tell you this, sometimes he does it when we're very small. But I want us to begin to understand, fainting is contagious. This is why we must make sure that we continue to persevere. Because it's a witness for others. And when somebody is fearful of that nature, I want you to understand this is why. This is why when we see somebody that is, you know, getting into that fainting thing, they're not looking at the goodness of God. Turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. Got a couple of verses, this verse, one more verse, and then we'll be done. Psalm chapter 27. Psalm 27 in verse 3, it says, though hosts should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. The one thing that he begins to realize is this. We need to understand that when people come up and begin to want to fight against us, we need to stop and say, hey, you know, God has already done so much for me. You're like, well, I don't know what God's really done for me. He saved your soul. He forgave your sins. Let's just start with that goodness right there. I mean, we could praise God all day long with that. Amen. When we begin to realize exactly what God's doing, we take a look at those things of battle just like David is and says, you know what? I'm going to be confident. I'm going to be confident in God. Because when we stop believing that God is good, we will faint. We will fall. We will stumble. Because in verse 13, there's the parallel. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh man, here's one of the biggest reasons why we don't persevere in this Christian life. We fail to wait. And people are like, well, timing and everything like that. But you know what? Waiting is more than just timing. Waiting implies a doing. What did we used to call food servers? Waiters and waitresses. Why did we call them that? Because they waited upon us. They served us. The implication is that we continue to serve God. We continue to persevere in doing what is right. We continue in the well-doing. Because if we do that, we will reap what God wants us to reap, and we won't faint. One final verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 16. Look at this verse. It says, for which cause we faint not. We faint not. But though our outward man perish, that's the physical, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do not rely on yesterday's strength. Do not rely on the strength that you had a week ago. Rely on the strength that you get today. Because the relationship with Christ and the walk with Christ is day by day. One step, then another step, then another step. Because the strength of yesterday is past. We need to be renewed day by day. That's what keeps us from fainting. And what happens is we have to begin to realize where the strength lies. Where is that resource? That resource is the Word. And both implications of it. In Christ and in this book, we must understand that. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. Thank you again for this opportunity to see this in the lesson, Lord, in perseverance. And Lord, I pray that as we look towards this, that Lord, we would not faint, but that we would continue to renew our strength day by day in you, through your Word, through your Spirit, through what you teach us and guide us and direct us to do. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done for us, and pray that you would just bless this time that we have to worship you, to praise you, and to hear from you. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.